Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. David and I saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
You know, I can't tell, Mitch, if these weeks get like closer together, further apart. Like sometimes I feel like, man, I just saw you yesterday. Yep. And then other times I'm like, man, I haven't seen Mitch for like, it's literally every Tuesday.
Yeah, benefits of
every Tuesday.
Being busy. Time flies when you're busy.
Man, yeah, I know. I feel great today.
Yeah.
I feel great. Worked all day.
You ever notice like when you can't sleep, the night's like crazy long?
Oh, I know,
because you're not busy.
Yeah. Right? It's been a real challenge for me. Like I used to just be nonstop physical work all the time, like 6-7 hours a day. Like I'd sleep like a baby. I'd always feel great.
Yeah.
And like, so for the last couple of months, I haven't been, and it's just like, I feel like a slug. And then it rains, and then your endorphins aren't running because you're not doing anything, and you're just like, man.
You ever go running in the rain?
Yeah.
God, that feels good.
I don't.
It's got to be it can be a cold, frigid rain, but like in the summertime.
Yeah.
A warm rain, like running in the rain feels so good. Take your shirt off, let it hit your body.
I mean, unless it's like raining so hard you can't run.
No,
it's
not like.
Not, not a monsoon.
Running in the naders or anything, but like.
The naders. But like. You know, you kind of like get, like I've been in this lull and like, even when I go running and I work out, like say it's an hour.
Yeah.
Say I'm like, okay, I'm gonna work out an hour today. Like that's not enough.
Yeah, sometimes.
Like I still feel like I have all this energy to burn.
Yeah.
You know, and it's crazy. Like, so today though, like I had to weld up a trailer, put new wood on it, had to go to Home Depot 3 different times, like dragging all that stuff back and forth, went and hit golf balls. Like I've been physical all day. Now I feel fantastic.
Can't hide money.
I know, dude.
Must be nice, right?
Must be nice.
Your response is, damn right it is.
Damn right it is. It's just like, we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Like, I've got to get a new routine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the first episodes we talked on the show, we talked about how important it was to have a routine.
Yeah.
Get up and do this every day. Do this, do this, do this. Like, and now that I'm like the first time in a long time I have no routine, I'm like, man, that's even more true than I ever thought.
Yeah.
Like I've got to get a new one.
One of my Facebook acquaintances today just posted their morning routine, and then they asked the question, like, how important is yours? And
seems like life or death right now.
I replied to it and was like, you know, I used to get up at like 4:45 every morning and all this stuff. However, I started sleeping till 6, and like, I go to bed at like we go to bed at like 9:15. I'm usually asleep by like 10.
Yeah. Well, it takes it's so weird as you get older. It's like, it takes you a little longer to unwind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
Daniel,
you kind of got to
lay there and chat or whatever. Like, we have a TV in the room. It's hardly ever on.
Oh yeah. We have a 60 inch in ours. It hasn't been on in probably 2 years since we shut DirecTV off.
I mean, if we're wanting to catch a movie or something, it might be on.
I can see from her side of it. Like, she's laying there. I want to try to get to sleep. Mitch is talking. I'm out. You know, like that works for her.
Yeah. But like,
no, not funny.
No,
no, we don't have a permanent TV setup. What we do is we have it in the closet so that anytime we're watching stuff in the bedroom, we want it to be intentional, because otherwise it's just, if the TV's just there, it's so easy just to click it on and you're sitting there for like 4 hours.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should call him out because he said he was going to be quiet for 45 minutes of the show, or should I bring up some weird porn joke?
He's just dropping his funny joke somewhere.
My suspense. I can go ahead and say it. Mitch is on his thing. I'm just kidding,
Austin.
Like, I've realized that if I get a full 8 hours of sleep, I am so much more productive. Like, I used to think I was productive getting up at 4:45 in the morning. And rightfully so, I was. Like, I was getting my reading done. I was getting my workout done. I was getting breakfast done and all this stuff. However, it was costing me productivity in other areas of my life just because my attention and energy wasn't there. Well, I started getting 8 hours of sleep. Oh, my gosh.
Well, it makes you... If you're not getting enough sleep, especially as you get older,
yeah,
like, you're... There's... they have studies like cognitive decline when you're in your 60s and 70s, like dementia starts to set in. Dude, your body has to get rest. Like, we want to lie to ourselves all the time. We're like, oh, I just get up at 4 and I just do this and I go out and I'm a farmer. Dude, if you don't get sleep, you're worthless.
Dude,
you are worthless if you don't get enough rest.
I started sleeping 8 hours a night in like February, right? So what are we now? May?
Yeah.
So three to four months.
Has it been that long now?
Yeah. I've put since on 5 pounds of muscle mass. Nothing has changed, right? My diet hasn't really crazy changed. I've taken a little bit more calories, but my diet hasn't crazy changed. Like, nothing's really changed. Really, the only thing that's changed, I still work out every day and all that shit. Really, the only thing that's changed is 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah. Dude,
it's crazy.
They say at our age, you're supposed to be getting 7 to 9.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know what I mean? Like, that is...
It's pretty wild.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like, I'll go through sessions where I'll only be getting, like, 7.5, 8, you know, which is great. I'm not complaining. Dude, if I'm really wore out stuff, dude, I'll sleep 9 hours sometimes. Dude, I don't care.
My off switch is anything under 6. Anything under 6, I might as well have not slept. Like, I am a different person if I get less than 6 hours of sleep.
Yeah, not even get up.
And then, like, on the weekends, I'll probably sleep 9.
Yeah.
9 hours. Like, I stay up a little later, so I sleep in a little later. Yeah. But I'll probably get like 9 on the weekends.
Sometimes I just... So. It's going to make me sound old. Sometimes I get a little nap in on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I haven't figured out napping.
Do you want to know you want to know what the secret to napping on the weekend is in the summertime?
I'm game.
Windows open, golf on the TV. You are asleep at least for 45 minutes. You turn golf on, you're out.
It's not that I can't fall asleep. My problem is that I sleep and then I wake up and I'm in like way worse condition than I was before I napped.
You go back to bed and you wake up and it's dark outside.
I tell Danielle, I'm like, that nap didn't take. Like, this is bullshit, you know? Like, I feel like I'm mad, you know? You take a nap to get rested and now I'm not, like, now I'm angry.
I will say, like, if I get up and I'm groggy though, dude, I'll drink some coffee. I'll have a Red Bull. Sugar-free Red Bull, get back going.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as like when you get up in the morning and you're like, if I don't work out, I'm going to be a slug all day.
Yeah.
Dude, if you take a nap and then you get up and you're like, man, this is awful. Walk around the block a couple times.
Yeah, maybe.
Boom. I think wide awake.
For me, what's helped on naps
kicking ass and taking names.
Oh, preemptively take naps. So if
what the hell does that mean?
If it's like in the afternoon,
sleeping
like,
when you're not tired?
If it's like 4 or 4:30 and I'm like, I have energy, but I know I'm not going to be able to make it till like 10 or 11.
Oh, you like just take a little 30.
Yeah, just preemptively do that stuff.
Yeah, if I sleep, I will say this, if I sleep longer than 15 or 20 minutes, like for a power nap,
right,
then yeah, I will feel that. But if it's just 15, 20, 30 minutes, I'm up, I'm like,
no, it's crazy.
Let's do something.
Like, I am a napping son of a bitch in the deer stand. I got that climbing tree stand with that like sling seat in it.
Yeah.
And I've lowered the sling so it's real low in the frame. And golly,
that's why I have a strap on that like you have to sit upright in.
I can pound some naps in that thing.
You will miss deer.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I can't
so
tell
I
you.
So I sit up. I'm like, I'm up. I'm asleep.
I physically can't tell you how many deer I've missed because I've been napping.
Yeah, because you were asleep.
No, I nap fairly quietly. Like I've woken up to footsteps in the grass and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, but you've also slept through like one walked by. And probably. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
That's why I go early and then I'm done or really late in the evening and try to sneak in for... Because if it's more than about 3 hours, I am out.
I would say that's the benefit of being able to walk out your back door and hunt, but I mean, I did shoot a 190-inch deer right out of my back door this year, I can't complain there.
Yeah, that's true. That is 100% true.
I look out the back window and I'm like, damn.
I don't know what I'd have done in that situation. I'd probably have done the same thing. Like, I've got to get this, try to get this deer.
Fuck yeah.
You have a great story, too. You sprained your foot on the way out there.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you and your
totally
feet
destroyed
lately.
That thing.
You and your ankles lately.
Yeah.
You're like a 90-year-old man.
Game warden comes by. No broken bones.
Yeah. You just look like a train wreck sometimes.
It's time for my joke to transition.
You said 45 fucking minutes.
It's
not 9:20.
So all of those in the U.S. who celebrate Mother's Day or around the world, I'm not sure.
Mother's Day
do.
Is a worldly affair.
It's a worldwide affair.
Is it? Yeah, is it an international holiday?
Yeah. My VA posted on her Facebook page, Happy Mother's Day.
Very nice.
So.
Nice.
So I know a guy, he posted on Facebook and he said, And to all the men who make their wives drive them around, happy Mother's Day to you too.
I saw one that was, it was a whole bunch of dads holding babies. And it was like, to all the dads that make Mother's Day possible, you're welcome. Or yeah, something like that. I was like, oh, that's 100% right.
I think I've posted this in the past, but I saw it again and it struck a chord with me. Like it was like a reminder to the guys of like, hey guys, Mother's Day is tomorrow. So make sure your wife gets all of her chores done today so that she can take tomorrow off.
That is so good.
Yeah.
Gold.
I think last year gold. I posted something along the lines of like a conversation of like Mitch to Danielle, hey babe, you should get all the laundry done today so you can have tomorrow off.
So it's kind of almost like the like they have those toxic posts on Facebook whenever it's like, hey, I wrecked my car and the boss is like, so are you still going to come into work or just yeah, be a little late? Yeah.
We had a great, Layla, every year now they have a Mother's Day Heartland soccer tournament.
Yeah.
So she doesn't like, it's always that. Like, yeah, you know, we do gifts and all that kind of fun stuff, but they won. Yeah. They won on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, Janine was pretty stoked.
Yeah.
First place, baby. What's cow?
We're kind of weird. And like, I don't, I mean, do you, right? Like, I'm not telling other people they should do this, but like birthdays, Mother's Days and Father's Days are not a big deal in our house at all. And we're talking like me to Danielle, Danielle to me, to our kids. Like birthdays aren't even really that a big deal to our kids. Like we just, for us, it's like, this is like some commercialized thing. And like if
well,
I want to get
birthdays aren't, it's not commercialized.
Well, not really, but it's like, if I want to get my kids something nice, I'm just going to get them something nice. I'm not going to wait for the birthday yeah, to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And the same thing with Danielle. Like if I find the perfect gift for Danielle, I'm going to give it to her as soon as I find it. I'm not going to hold it for a holiday or a special occasion.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give it to her. And that may mean she doesn't get anything on Mother's Day, but she got random gifts that were
she
from gets, the heart throughout
yeah,
the year.
Yeah, she gets plenty of shit.
Yeah.
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 She gets three yeah, inches over
say,
and over.
Oh
and
my
over,
God. That's not where I was going with that. That's not where I was. I will say, like, we're a little different. I shouldn't say we're a little different. I'm a little different. Like, you know, like Father's Day rolls around and dads are like, oh, I'm going to sleep in the hammock. I'm going to play golf with my buddies. I'm going to do this. I'm like, no. That's my day with Layla. I take her. And we're together all day.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah,
this is my
dad.
Yeah. I'm
day,
like,
yeah,
this is, what are we doing today? And she's like, I don't know. I don't want to do this. So I'm like, no, you're doing what I want.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're going fishing. We're doing this. We're doing what, like, and usually we spend the majority of the day together.
Yeah.
So
I don't know how Mother's Day is calculated.
What do you mean calculated?
Well, like it's always on a Sunday, but is it like the second Sunday of May?
I think it's
like
the second Sunday.
I don't know. But we,
it's always on a Sunday.
Google machine.
Yeah.
That's you, buddy.
It's always on a Sunday.
So yeah, it's always the weekend.
Yes, you need to go. Do we need
Google
to go?
Everything.
The guy's got one freaking job.
The weekend before.
How do you know when Mother's Day is?
Well, you missed the first rule. Bring the camera to the podcast so you can at least freaking Google something today. I'm kidding, Austin.
The weekend before Memorial Day weekend, me and some college buddies.
Man, I'm so bummed I can't go.
Yeah, we always go to Lake of the Ozarks. We call it Man Weekend at the lake. And it's what's crazy is you would think it's like a weekend of debauchery. And it's really not.
No, it's resting without nagging.
Well, it's not even that. Like, we go hard. But it's like all of these guys that go are very successful people in yeah, their own right. Some of them do real estate. Some of them have construction companies, some of them just work jobs or whatever. Like, it doesn't matter, but like it's one of the coolest things ever.
Yeah, they're in the top 15% probably.
Yeah,
10%, something like that.
The first time I went, I told Danielle, I'm like, I don't know what I'm getting into. Like, I am not cool with this whole like bachelor party vibe, right? Like, I don't want to go.
You didn't even know that's what it was.
No.
You just assumed?
Well, I was telling her,
first
like,
off,
if it's going to be one of those, like,
I'm 100% fine with the bachelor party
yeah,
vibe.
I don't
dude,
know.
Hey man, you tell me I can't. You know what? I'm not going to say all yeah, that stuff on the podcast.
So, and I mean, don't get me wrong. We get fun and rowdy and all that stuff, but it's all like really constructive. And the conversations that we have are freaking crazy.
They're intellectual.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, this is my third year going, and most years it seems like we have to come home on Mother's Day because it's always the weekend before Memorial Day. So I don't know when Mother's Day is.
It's the second week in May.
Okay. And
the
then
second
when is,
Sunday?
Or when is Memorial Day? Is Memorial Day the fourth Sunday in May?
It's the last Sunday in May. Memorial Day is the last Monday in May. That's my guess. The last Monday.
Yeah, I don't know. Because like, there must be some weird funny thing with the calendars, because there's been, I think, one or two years.
Last Monday of May.
Okay.
Ha! Got it.
There must be some weird years where maybe May only has three Sundays or something, to where we end up...
Actually, that could probably be.
I mean, maybe if the first is on a Monday...
Hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Well, maybe they just schedule their stuff weird because stuff's going on.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wanted to, Layla has soccer rainouts, so I can't
go.
Yeah, you
got makeups for that.
I will say this, though. I would much rather go watch her play soccer than go with you guys. Like, I would. Like, that's my,
that's
my sports. I love it. But I am bummed I don't get to go.
Right. But so.
What do you want to talk about?
You want to talk about something crazy.
Let's talk about you fucking some stuff up.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that. So, we've been... We've been in business.
I don't know why it should bring me joy. It should not bring me joy, but it brings a little smile to my face.
Well, if you can't laugh in the face of hardship.
When other people suffer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
So we've been in business for coming up on 4 years now. And we've talked about it on the show before, but we've been fairly lucky with flooding houses. And we're a plumbing company, right? So like if you're a heating and cooling company and you make a mistake, somebody's house is cold when it should be hot, or it's hot when it should be cold. If you're an like maybe you smoke a board, maybe you pop a capacitor.
I have seen, guys not wire up a flood switch and it flood an attic.
Yeah. You could flood an attic with condensate
and drop three ceilings worth of sheetrock. Yeah. I have seen that happen.
So some outliers.
Yeah. Yeah. Some random outliers.
It's pretty rare.
Right. I mean, technically in any trade, you could catch a house on fire. Like that's all real, right?
I've caught a house on fire. I wasn't.
I mean, I caught my parents' house on fire and I was just trying to cook toast. The toaster caught on fire. So, but
I remember that.
Yeah. The cord. It wasn't even like junk in the toaster. Like the cord literally just was like poof. I'm like, oh shit. But anyway.
That's another topic for another day.
If you're an electrician and you make a mistake, like a light switch doesn't work or a light doesn't work or an outlet doesn't work or a breaker trips.
I can hear all the crybaby electricians now. You could kill somebody.
Yeah. Not today. Maybe on the days of knob and tube wiring or the days of fuses, maybe you were catching shit on fire.
Electricians. But, the most overrated trade.
I mean.
There's something about tradesmen that I learned really quickly from the outside is like every tradesman thinks that they're the hardest worker of all the trades.
Yeah, except
those
for
plumbers,
heating.
I'm an HVAC guy.
Heating and cooling and plumbers all agree that the least working are electricians. So we know that they are.
I had to kind of figure that out because I left QuitTrip. I'm like, oh, I don't have to work with, you know, teenagers anymore. And I get here and I have like this 50-year-old guy who's like, man, that offends me how you said that. In my work, I work hard, blah, blah. Back on topic.
I don't know exactly what Austin said. I don't know where it went. I had a photo on my phone that was making fun of electricians. I was going to bring it up. But, you know, if electricians make a mistake, it's because they, like, a breaker's not working, or maybe they accidentally picked up a broom. Like, that's a big mistake for electricians because they don't ever touch brooms, right?
Yeah,
so
they're lazy.
When plumbers make a mistake, it's usually a wet mess, unfortunately.
Yeah,
right?
It just is.
And so a couple of years ago, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, one of my plumbers, and he's still with me today, he went to a house and he rebuilt a kitchen faucet and installed a water softener. And so he's turning the water back on to the house. And he never, because he had to turn the water off to do the softener, he never turned the supply stops off to the kitchen faucet. It's just while the water was off, he rebuilt the kitchen faucet. And
which is normal.
Yeah, this is a very fancy house. It's got hardwood floors, granite countertops, all kinds of stuff. All three floors are finished. First floor, second floor, basement, all finished. And so he rebuilds the faucet, puts in the softener, starts turning the water back on. And you have to start somewhere checking for leaks. And so he starts at the place with the most connections, the water softener, whereas I would have started too. And he's checking for leaks while water service is being restored and all this stuff. Little does he know, he didn't get the cartridge in the kitchen sink faucet seated all the way. And the kitchen sink faucet is flooding the kitchen. And he's down in the basement checking the softener for leaks. And then all of a sudden he hears water coming through a can light in the basement. And he's like, what's that? And he goes upstairs and the kitchen sink is like royally flooded the kitchen. And it's like running all over the countertops, all over the, they didn't have a raised bar. Their counter was just an island.
Oh.
And so it rolled right off the back of the countertop.
Yeah. Instead of going to the sink.
Yeah. Instead of like, hitting the backsplash and going to the sink, it just rolls off the top.
Or if it was just tilted the other way, just a touch.
Yeah.
Just a quarter bubble.
Goes right into a floor register, thankfully.
Yeah, it I was going to say, you would ruin that floor.
It didn't puddle up on the floor. It went straight into a floor register and flooded the fuck out of the basement. And so we're like, shit, right? That's our first house flood in company history. So we do all the right things. We get the drying companies out there. We have to replace some sheetrock. We have to replace some baseboards, some trim, and all this shit. And I've got a couple of buddies that work in, you know, reconstruction. So they get us all taken care of. 8 days later, they go back to pull their fans and pull their tools because they're done. And they show up to the house and it's flooded again. Turns out the softener we installed had a broken piece in the control head. And when it went to regenerate 8 days later, it flooded the fuck out of the basement. I mean, bad, right? Worse than the first one. Only this time it didn't come through the ceiling.
I don't understand.
So now we have two floods. This is a year and a half ago. We have two floods in our company history and they're both at the same house.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
This is totally random. Were those people not living there at the time?
No, they were.
They just didn't go downstairs.
They just
ever.
Didn't go to, like, it regenerated the night before the construction.
Gotcha.
Like, the water was in their basement for maybe, well, it regenerates at 2 a.m. and they were over there at 8 a.m. So the water was in their basement for 6 hours and they hadn't gone down to the basement morning yet.
Floor didn't slope to the floor drain.
It's like tough. Every other basement out there. It never slopes to the floor drain.
Dude,
the lowest part in your basement is not the floor drain.
Mine is awful.
Yeah.
Like my whole house, like my basement's perfect. My barn, like you can spray a hose for 40 feet and it all goes to the floor drains. The one in my house, it's awful.
Yeah.
Bad. Literally you could spray a hose for 45 minutes. And there's like an island.
Yeah.
It's the floor drain.
It's the floor drain.
It's fucking awful.
Yeah. So that was bad, right? Like, it's one thing to flood a customer's house. It's another thing to flood a customer's house twice in 8 days. And so, you know, we had a lot of...
Yeah, I have completely busted your balls for this for at least a year now.
We had a lot of reeling back to do that, right?
Maybe a year and a half. Well, did he not... I mean, I'm assuming he incrementally turned the water on at the main.
No.
Or was it like just a little bit, but it was a lot enough time for it to just start puddling
out? I mean,
out?
A little bit of water, a lot of bit of water is the same.
Doesn't matter.
Right? And if you're turning it on to check for leaks and you've done a lot of repairs, you have to pick one spot and start. Mm-hmm. And so if something else is leaking...
I will say the one spot I'd have probably picked would have been... Like the one that's not in a in a finished area and not an unfinished area.
Or the flip side. And again, hindsight's a bitch in this, right? Like it's easy to look at this back and say, like, I would have done it different. Like the flip side is you rebuild the kitchen faucet and then you turn the stops off so that you can test the softener and then come up and turn the stops onto the kitchen and test it on its own.
I will say to that, if I don't have to turn stops off, I don't turn them off.
No, right. I
because
wouldn't
they break down and those little rubbers go everywhere. Then they ruin all the work you just did in the kitchen faucet.
100%.
For those of you that don't think I know something about plumbing, get bent. It's awful.
Yeah.
It's the hot stop every time. It's freaking ridiculous.
And this is one of those things where like
I wouldn't have shut them off. I would have kept them on.
Yeah. Like, so we made it a company policy from that day forward that if you're ever installing a softener, you have to stay on site until it's completed. You have to force it into a regeneration.
Yeah, forced.
And you have to stay on site until it's done.
Yeah, it's like a forced defrost.
The softener that we install, you can fast skip it through the regeneration as long as it's been, it goes through, I think, 8 steps in the regen. And as long as it's been in a step for 60 seconds, you can hit skip.
Fast forward.
And it'll skip to the next one. Yeah. So you can
put
each step.
So you can
step,
test it. Yeah,
you can
so
test,
you can
it,
test
right.
it. Yeah.
So, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months later, that same plumber is in a customer's house 5 or 6 blocks
from
me. This
is the same dude, too?
Same dude. He's,
I did
he's
not
in a
pick
house
up on that.
Five
on
or
the,
six blocks
on
from
the group
me.
Call.
And I had recently gotten the guy's ProPress machines
is
prior
it the
to
house,
this.
Is it the house on the corner?
No.
Okay.
And so he puts in a main entrance valve in this customer's house. And he's fairly new to using ProPress, and he forgets to ProPress one of the connections. And the water pressure in this house is fairly low, and so it didn't leak right away. It didn't leak until about 8 hours later when everything was sitting idle and the water heater heated and thermal expansion built a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
And then it blew that son of a gun apart and flooded the hell out of the basement, right? And so the customers call us and they can't get the main, like it was leaking the ProPress connection. He forgot the crimp was on the bottom side of the main entrance valve.
Yeah.
So turning the valve off doesn't do anything. They had to go to the meter. Well, then they couldn't get the meter all the way off because it was stiff. And so,
and they're homeowners.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's only a couple of blocks from my house. I go over there, I get them all squared away. I apologize profusely. And
that's like when you talk about eating humble pie, those are tough conversations.
I mean, it sucks, right?
You have to literally look them in the eye and say, I am so sorry that I am a complete fucking jack off, even if it's not your fault. Like, well, that's basically what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's just like, nothing makes you feel smaller than that. Like, you're just like, oh.
And so, like, anytime we make mistakes, we take great care of our people when we make mistakes. You know, we completely restored that first guy's house that we flooded twice. Thankfully, the second flood was just drying. It wasn't anything else.
Sorry, it's not funny, but it's funny because
it's funny, right? So this third incident, like, it was bad. Their carpet was so old and so crappy, we couldn't dry it out. So I had to buy them all new carpet. I had to buy them all new luxury vinyl plank flooring in the basement, all new baseboards, all new quarter round. You know, fair amount, right?
Yeah.
And I'm coming out of pocket on this because I don't want to turn it into my insurance and jack my rates.
15?
I think 10? About $3,000.
Oh, that's it?
Total. Yeah.
Oh, I feel way less bad for you.
Well, it's concrete floors in a basement.
Yeah,
right?
But baseboard, paying a trim guy.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean,
yep.
That can get expensive.
Yeah, quite a bit. So,
$3,000's cheap. You got lucky.
Somehow, through the grace of God, we gained that customer's trust back. And they called us back like a month and a half ago and had us rebuild a kitchen faucet. And we go to rebuild it, and this thing won't rebuild. It's all full of scale. It's all full of junk. And so they were asking, like, what can you do about this? And, well, they make water conditioners and water softeners. And, you know, if you want one, we can get you pricing on that. And, like, we don't really push water softeners hard. But if the customer thinks they have hard water, they have hard water. Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to convince you you have hard water. If you don't think you have hard water, I'm pissing up a rope trying to convince you of it.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I don't like the way my water feels, well, we can fix it. Right? And so we're a very soft approach on the hard water thing.
Yeah. Our water around here is pretty good.
Yeah. It's decent. It averages like 7 to 9 grains of hardness. It's not crazy.
Yeah.
And so they wanted a Halo 5 water conditioner. They wanted a saltless water softener. And so, and they also needed a new water heater. And so throughout this whole process,
and
they were
a new kitchen faucet, apparently.
Well, we put in a new kitchen faucet a month and a half ago. Right. But during that visit, we started talking water softeners, conditioners.
Okay. Following.
And then they were interested in tankless water heaters. And we talked about tankless and tank type. And we warned them ahead of time, like, if you go tankless, we have to cut these shelves out of the way because it has to mount on this wall. If you go tank type, it just gets replaced right here. Well, some error in communication happened and they wanted tank type, but they cut these shelves out of the way ahead of time. And so they were already a little frustrated when we showed up to do the install because they cut these shelves out of the way and they didn't need to be cut out. So now they lost their shelf space. Right.
That's on the homeowner. And don't be a dipshit.
I mean, some of it's on, like, the homeowner. Maybe it's the way we talk. Like, you just don't know.
Use your common sense.
Yeah.
If this is going to remove and a new one's going to go in, why would this thing over here on the left have to go?
Yeah,
that's
on
them.
I don't know.
I'll give you that one.
Could be. Right?
They're idiots.
You just
got it.
I wasn't a part of the conversation, so I don't know. Again,
because his guys are listening. That's on the homeowner.
We're doing a saltless.
I'm back you up, guys.
We're doing a saltless water softener here. And so the guys, the install team stays on site. Through the regeneration process, they kick it into a regen and they stay on site and they take the opportunity to go out to the truck and smoke a cigarette and drink some water and whatever else. And so the guy who sold the job, our plumber, these are our installers doing the job. Our plumber shows up. Our plumbers will typically circle around on those jobs on their last visit of the day to make sure that all the promises they made to the customer were fulfilled, tidy up any messes, address any concerns, and then collect, right?
Yeah, talk to the customer, make sure they're happy.
Yep. And so our plumber shows up and sees the guy sitting in the truck.
Were the homeowners there?
Yes.
Okay.
And sees the guy sitting in the truck, and he's like, what are you guys doing?
They
and
don't
they're
hear,
like, oh, we're done.
They don't hear water running.
No, they're like, we're done. It's just, you know, it's regenerating right now, and we're just, you know, getting through that, and then we're going to be out of here. And the guy's like, cool. So my guy walks into the basement and finds it raining in the basement. The they did not properly install the discharge line of the drain line on the softener.
What's a proper, what do you mean by
well, when a water softener, discharges, it discharges at line pressure. And so if you have 80 pounds of pressure and it discharges through like a half inch or a 3/8 inch flexible drain tube. And yeah. So if you have 80 pounds of pressure, imagine 80 pounds of pressure spraying out of a 3/8 flexible line. That thing's going to move around like a fire hose, right? So you have to firmly anchor it.
And do you guys not put them in the floor drains, like in the hole and then zip tie it down?
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
No, we actually ran it into a laundry standpipe on this one because okay. their laundry was right next to where their main water comes in and there's not a floor drain in that area.
Gotcha.
And so they did not anchor the discharge line properly. And so while they were out in the truck, this discharge line was spraying all over the place. And for
Mitch at 20 years old,
I'll say this. Yeah. I'll say this for flooding their basement. I have to replace ceiling tiles in their basement because this thing was spraying everywhere.
Sometimes so, you're the dog, sometimes you're the hydrant.
Need I remind you, this is the house that we flooded a year ago.
I know.
Right?
That's why I'm laughing so hard. Odds of you flooding.
We've flooded four homes in our company's history, but only at two locations.
Two different times.
Yeah.
With the same main plumber doing the work and then selling the other job.
No, so the.
No, I thought you said it was the same guy.
The same guy
flooded that one the first time.
The first time, not okay. The second time. It's my install team that flooded it the second time.
Instead of 1 in 2 million, it's 1 in 1.8 million.
Yeah.
But like, good Lord.
We flooded the same house twice. For real.
Dude.
Like, the odds of that happening are insane. Do you know how
bad it is that the second house is in your subdivision?
It's not in my sub. I mean, it's in the next subdivision over, but
it's close enough, dude.
It's still like it's this is still enough. In all like how we handle it, right? And so yeah. I want to talk about like how you handle this shit. Like, here's the silver lining.
I'm interested in this.
You had to work really hard probably to get to the.
No. I mean, it's pretty obvious for me. So like, if you're a plumbing company that's doing over $1 million a year in revenue, I'm just being painfully obvious. You're probably making one wet mess a year. It's just the odds, right? If you install tires on cars, you're probably going to fuck a tire up once a year.
Well,
you're probably going to fuck a wheel up once. You're probably going to scratch a wheel.
Well,
right?
I'm going to say, like, if you're putting that many tires on, one of them is going to have a blowout because it's a bad tire. Mm-hmm. You know, and that can be faucets too. I have put vanity faucets in that had leaked like literally out of like just all over the countertop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just sometimes that happens.
Right.
Like,
if you're a framer, you're probably going to shoot yourself with a nail or smash your finger once a year.
Oh my God, I shot myself in the hand.
Yeah.
It's awful.
Well, I've seen you gut a deer, so I know what you can do with a framing nail.
I've also stabbed myself in the thigh gutting a deer.
Yeah.
So, actually, I was skinning it, but whatever.
But like...
Semantics.
It's on the surface level, you think, wow, that's a shitty plumbing company. But really, in all reality, it's only a matter of time. It really is. Like, if you drive cars for a living, you're going to have more crashes than the person who doesn't drive cars for a living. And that might not be because you are worse of a driver.
Yeah.
It's you're on the road next to all the other nut jobs more often than anybody else.
Yeah, Mike
right?
Van Dyke working at Enterprise yeah, Rent a Car.
that was totally on him.
Well, but, that guy wrecked a few cars in our day.
So the silver lining with all of this is... if you have to have four floods in your company's history, at least it only happened to two customers and not four customers, right?
For you,
we've
yes.
only pissed off two households. Now, the first one has never called us back for work, and I'm not going to fault the second one if they don't ever call us back because
no,
I mean,
God,
look at their track record, right? Like,
yeah,
100%
no.
of the time they call us, we flood the fuck out of their house. Now, 100% of the time they call us, they get new shit. Because I buy everything new, right?
Man, if I was them, I'd be cutting lines and hey, fucking holes in lines. Like, I'll get, try to get all kinds of shit.
I might have to pick up a couple of guitars. I don't know.
Ooh.
I don't know. I'm not, the jury's still out on those.
You listen to me. If you do, I want them. Because if you have to pay for them, you want the old ones?
Yeah, I'm not even going to push that line.
Mitch?
I didn't demand that I get their old carpet when I had to buy them new carpet.
I want
to
rehab them. If they're
nice. If they're going to trash them, I'll get them for you.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Hey, man, so, give me a little fucking something
they're,
here.
They're more concerned about an amp than they are the guitars.
I would like that amp, too.
Yeah. This is a small, like, 18-inch Fender amp.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's probably
a
Blues Deluxe or something like that.
Yeah.
If you have to pay to replace it, this is the same thing as insurance. If you have to pay to replace it, you get it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to give it to me, and I'm going to take it to Preston Electronics, my guy.
Yeah.
And he's going to rebuild that sumbitch. And I will play it.
So
I will play the shit out of that thing.
How you handle these situations when they come up. Here's how guys do it wrong. Guys will do it wrong. Like for instance, this lady, she's super nice and she's obviously frustrated. I would be too.
She's mad. She's mad.
She's got LVP flooring in the basement, luxury vinyl plank.
Which, by the way, is garbage.
It's like click lock vinyl flooring that's waterproof, and it's got like a foam.
That's what you got.
Am I Googling it?
No, it's got like a foam membrane on the bottom of it to keep it from being in contact with the concrete.
I hate that
And
stuff.
You would use this on concrete because concrete breathes and sweats and everything else, and it's moisture resistant, right?
Yeah. When you walk around on it, it's like clickety clack. I hate it.
This stuff, like I've got the same stuff in my basement. It doesn't click and pop like that because it's got a foam backer on the bottom.
Ours is
awful. But
ours is like splitting everything in her house.
So
yours is fucked.
You know, she's raising concerns about the moisture under the luxury vinyl plank. And I'm not a flooring expert. I don't know, right? So what's the better way to do? Like, do I want to start an argument with her that's based off of the fact that I don't want to buy her flooring that I don't think she needs?
No, you pull it up and let it dry and you put it back down.
I bring in the restoration experts and I let them make the call.
Or either.
And so they come in and they make the decision. Does it need to be replaced? Does it not? And everything they say needs to be replaced, I'm replacing, no questions asked, right? And where I see a lot of guys go wrong, when shit hits the fan, where I see a lot of guys go wrong is they start getting defensive and they start splitting hairs. And it's almost like they're entering this this conversation, assuming the customer's trying to pull one over on them.
Well, they're super insecure at that moment because they know they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like they're trying to puff their chest out a little bit and try to like reclaim some face.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's not happening. Like
right.
That you have to eat humble pie and just, to your point, if guys do go in there and do that, what does that do? Like, it automatically creates a bad review also.
Oh, yeah,
right?
100%.
Like, you're getting crushed. Whether they put it online or not,
yeah.
Everyone that they ever talk to is, they are fucking crushing you.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go in there and look the lady in the face and say, whatever they say, whatever you want to do, we're going to do it.
Yep.
They're going to tell their friends, hey, yeah, they came out and they, like, this happened and this happened. But, man, they paid for everything.
Yep.
No questions asked. Wrote the check. It's over. I'm
better now than I was before because I got new carpet versus old carpet or new flooring versus old flooring. Right.
I mean, and that in itself like speaks to the character of the company.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And then even if they don't say to their friend, hey, you should use them, their friend is like, oh man, they're a stand-up company.
Right.
They may use you regardless of you flooding their house because of how you handled that situation.
Right. And ultimately, like you do anything long enough, shit's going to happen. It's how you handle that judges the character of your company, right?
I've eaten compressors. Like I've literally gone out and changed capacitors and been like, hey, look, this compressor is on its last leg. I suggest you change everything out.
Yep.
But if you want, I'll change this. And like they are throwing such a fit when they call me back, the compressor's out.
Yep.
Hey, we talked about this. I have it in writing. Like, I'm happy to give you a refund for the, you know, whatever. And they're throwing such a fit. Okay. I'll just, you know what? I tell you what, I'll replace the compressor this time. And then you get two calls after that.
Right.
Because they've recommended you and it's work. Like sometimes you just got to eat it.
Yeah. So like we had one, this would have been a year and a half or 2 years ago. We installed a shower and a shower valve in somebody's basement. And the original plan, we gave them two prices, one to do the rough in and the installation, and then one to come back and set the finish. And there was some other stuff too. We were putting in a toilet and a sink and all this stuff. And initially they were going to have us do everything. And oftentimes, this is why we always price it out in two prices, is oftentimes the customer wants to save money by setting their own finish. And so we did the rough in and we used their old shower arm to fill, to put in the shower riser.
Okay.
So they could sheetrock around it and didn't sheetrock over our shower riser.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't do a ton of new construction. And so the truck, like nobody had, like a nipple and a cap to plug in the shower riser. Right.
You're telling me you guys didn't have a piece of half inch black pipe and a cap.
Well, I've gotten them away from using that because then that gets all rusty water in it. And then the rusty water will like stain the shower. And so I've told them just test everything really well and then just plug the hole with their shower arm, their old shower arm, because it's trashed anyway, right?
Yeah.
And so then they decided to set their own finish. Well, they thought the old shower arm was the new shower arm. And so the lady's son like screws a shower head onto the old shower arm that's just loosely hand tight the drop-eared L. And so then they start using the shower and a couple of weeks later they notice water on the floor.
Well, of course, it's leaking like a son of a bitch.
Yeah, and they've got all this fancy wooden cabinetry behind the shower and it like ruined this wooden cabinet. And yeah. It's like permanent built-in cabinetry and the son makes the cabinetry, right?
I don't know what we were going to say, but I'd have made that son of a bitch eat it.
They call up and they're all upset that we have a leak and all this stuff. And then we learn that it was actually a leak caused by improper finish. And we weren't allowed to do the finish, but it became like splitting hairs of we're the ones who put the shower arm in. They assumed it was good to hook a shower head up to, you know.
I'm making them eat it.
Right. Well, these are those hairs splitting things, right? Like if I would have split the hairs and stood up and said, no, now we're bad reviews. Now we're bad press. Now we're everything. Right. And so I'm looking at there's not very much damage there at all. He's got to rebuild like an 18-inch wide cabinet that's, I don't know, 6 feet tall.
You look him in the eye and go, you know, you fucked this up, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, all, you know, whatever. Like, as soon as they said the son is the one who makes the cabinet, he can get it rebuilt and get it fixed and all this stuff, right? And so then, and I'm like, yeah, just go ahead and rebuild it and let me know what I owe you. I go, okay. Well, then I start getting all of these extra unnecessary communications from him. Of, well, this wood was out of stock, so we had to do this wood, which is a little nicer.
Yeah, fuck
and,
off.
And all this. And it's giving me all the vibes that they're taking me for a ride, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, and I'm biting my tongue. I've made the promise that I'm just, you take care of it. I'm going to pay the bill, you know, whatever it is. So then they come and bring me the bill. And again, there's all this unnecessary communication. Well, it's a lot higher than we thought it was because the wood and the primer and the sanding and the stain, wood price has just gone crazy and all this stuff.
Dude, it's one cabinet.
He hands me the bill. You know what the bill was? It was like $217.
Oh, Jesus.
Right?
I'll eat the $217.
But the thing is, most guys would have bulled up and started giving resistance before they ever saw the bill because they didn't like the vibe, right? And meanwhile, I already told them I'll pay to fix the cabinet. Well, the moment I tell them that, I got to honor it, right? And so I feel the vibe that they're trying to run the bill up on me. And then here they hand me a $200 bill and I'm like, here's $250, call it even, right? Yeah. So like... You know, that's
talking
just,
about money perspective on another show, but
right,
yeah,
right. And so, you know, there's right ways and wrong ways to handle your fuck ups. And ultimately when you fucked up, you just got to eat it. Right.
Yeah.
And that's like crashing into somebody and then trying to say like, I'll pay for this dent and this dent and this dent. But that dent was already there. It's like, dude, you just ass ended that person at 40 miles an hour. I'm pretty sure you owe them everything on the back of their car.
You can't be picky. You're not the government.
Yeah.
Oh, on that too, like talking about, sorry to cut you off, about like the specifics too is, like, people are homeowners, so they're not going to understand a lot of times of, like, all the different terminology and stuff. And I kind of have this, too, when I'm trying to video the plumbers, is I try to have them speak in, like, simpler terms. Because I'm like, oh, you know, what's the problem here? Well, this straight nine is coming on a 3/4 and going on a 3/8 and this copper. Yeah. And I'm like, dude,
got an unclass pass wrench and a 3/8 flare coupling.
Dumb
and
it down there, buddy.
I'm like,
what?
I just
what do you say
in terms of like what's going to happen if you don't do this right? Oh, it'll flood their water. That's what I need for the
video. Right.
Yeah, and that's what I need for the video.
Homeowners need too. It's like especially if you're in a situation where you want to come in and be like, well, technically they were supposed to pull the water softener up and this happened, and you're like, dude, like
Yeah.
There's flooding my house.
Yeah. All I know is my floor is wet. Right. Bitch.
My floor's wet, and it wasn't wet until you showed up.
My shit's
right.
You can't expect to like.
I wasn't gonna say anything about a carpet and a wet joke, but you know, I mean, yeah. It's just like you keep bringing it up. I don't know.
Well, it's like you can't get frustrated whenever the homeowner doesn't automatically understand everything you know about plumbing in five minutes.
Right.
Touche.
And ultimately, this whole thing is a business, and the business is about making customers happy and growing your happy customer base as large as possible. And sometimes that looks different. Sometimes it looks like you going in and doing repairs free for the community. Sometimes it looks like you going in doing repairs and charging your normal wages. Sometimes that looks like you giving a customer back a couple of bucks that was upset about the price. Yeah. And sometimes it means you're buying carpet in somebody's house as you flooded. Like, it all looks different, but ultimately the goal is to make as many people happy as possible. So
well said, sir.
Next topic, topic two for this is how to handle unsolicited advice. If you've
unsolicited advice, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
It's basically if you open Facebook.
Well, this would be more in-person advice. You're going to get plenty of unsolicited advice on Facebook, but that comes off more trolling, right?
That's good.
So I have this acquaintance of mine, and he is, I mean, rightfully so, he's actually a very successful business person. He's grown businesses from sub-million-dollar levels to over $50 million. He's started businesses where there was nothing before.
Has he actually done it or just been an investor?
No, he's done it.
Oh, okay.
And I will give him that credit. Like when he starts down these paths, he sees a path to winning and he gets there. Right. However, never once have I gone to him and given him unsolicited advice on how he should better run his businesses.
Okay.
But for some reason,
dick measure, got it.
He wants to message me out of the blue of every few months and try to give me unsolicited advice about how I should behave online or how I should run my business or all of these things. And the advice comes with this real tongue-in-cheek fashion. It always comes with some kind of humble brag or flex to start with, and then it comes with some form of advice. And you know, one time he approached me with a concern about how I was running my business, and he opened the concern with, "I don't have a lot of time. I'm on a private jet right now. I'm on my way to speak to Congress. I don't need to know that."
Yeah.
The only reason he's saying that is some...
Didn't I already say dick measure?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only reason he's saying that is to try to establish dominance or some bullshit,
right? Yeah, because he's probably a loser.
Who knows? And so we...
I mean, I'm just saying.
A little over a month ago, we started doing a text messaging campaign in our business. And for those that don't do texting campaigns, I would highly advise it because they work really well.
Yeah.
And so the first text message we sent out was letting everybody know that we do free sewer inspections. And so we send out this text message saying, "Hey, just letting you know we do free sewer inspections." Within the next 2 weeks after that text, we sold like $27,000 in sewer replacements. So I pay MailChimp.com to do my texting, and I pay them about $100 to $150 a month. And so for $150 a month and one text message, we got almost $30,000 in revenue.
Nice.
Right. Pretty cool. Right.
Yeah. Not profit, but net.
Profit, but top line sales. And so we've decided that every 2 weeks we're going to send a text message and every 2 weeks we're going to send an email. Well, let me say that better. Every 4 weeks we're going to send a text message and every 4 weeks we're going to send an email. And those happen 2 weeks apart from each other. So once a month, you're going to get a text from us. And once a month, you're going to get an email from us.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Okay.
Okay.
And so a little over 4 weeks ago,
Mitchell come to your house and take his shirt off.
Yeah, right.
$29.95.
A little over 4 weeks ago, we sent out a text message about the free sewer inspection. And according to the federal FCC or FTC, I can't remember, there are some guidelines that you have to abide by when you're texting customers. And you have to clearly present an opt-out option. And yeah. so that's
why you can unsubscribe from emails. That's why when you get a text, it's text stopped to opt out.
Yeah. A lot of times it'll be reply with the word stop to opt out of receiving these. Yeah. Right. And the systems are automated. If you reply with the word stop, I don't have to do shit. The system automatically removes you from the
list. Kicks the phone number out.
Right. And so, my neighbor, these texts go out. My neighbor's a prior customer of ours. So these texts go out.
You didn't say neighbor earlier.
I didn't say neighbor. Well, friend. It is my neighbor.
It's too late now.
Yep.
Boop.
So, these texts go out and they go out, what, yesterday? And so my neighbor, out of the blue, I get these couple of text messages from me. And
this is recent.
This happened yesterday.
Okay.
And so I get these text messages from him, the three text messages in 9 minutes from him. And it's all him trying to sell me the product that he sells. All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show. Hey, we got this crazy deal on this. You should get it. Oh, we also got these crazy deals on this. You should get it.
Was there a stop for opt-out?
Oh, gosh, no.
Of course not.
Right. And so then I don't know he's upset yet. And so I tell him like, hey, I'm pretty happy with the services I'm getting right now, but I'll let you know in the future. Right. And then he sends me a screenshot of the two text messages he's received from our company. And he says, why am I receiving these? And I said, we texted a mass texting campaign to all of our prior customers and you're a prior customer. So you get them. And he says, well, I've tried opting out multiple times and it's not working. And keep in mind, he sent me a screenshot of the messages.
Oh, so you can see if he texts you back stop.
It's only two inbound messages and he's never replied stop. And I said, well, according to your screenshot, you've never replied stop. And if you reply stop, then they'll stop. The system is automated that way. And he goes, do you realize the FTC requires that you have written consent from customers to opt them into texting?
I would have said... Well, if you knew that, why did you text me your Kratom bullshit?
Well, I didn't yet, right?
Like, and what are you talking about, dude?
So then I'm like, yeah, maybe in some sectors, that would be for like a cold pitch out of the blue where you've never been a customer of a business. You have to opt in. However, the FTC rules also indicate that if you are a prior customer of a business, they can send you text messages as long as there's a clear path to opt out. And I mean, keep in mind, it took us 5 months to establish this texting campaign because you have to go through all of these FTC things.
Well, you got to go through all the channels.
They look through your website and make sure you've got the proper communications there. They look through everything. They want to know what you're texting to your customers. You have to send them 12 sample texts. Like this is a whole process. And we've abided by all of that. And we've been awarded all of this and we're texting what we say we're going to text and everything. And so he wants to start dick measuring now. And he's like, Mitch, this is where you're wrong. And he's done this many times before where here's going to come some unsolicited advice from somebody who I don't want his advice.
You're such a nice, you're just, I don't want to say you're a nicer guy than I am. You're such a, how do I say this? Better handler of bad situations than
tactful,
I am.
Maybe.
I wouldn't say tactful. Like,
well, you want to throw a grenade on the situation.
I don't win up to this fucking...
I want to surgically take somebody out and nobody else know about it.
No, I want everyone to see his head on a stake like Viking Voyage. Yeah, like, there you just go. Boom, there it is. I went up to the street and I murdered this guy.
Right.
Like, so, theoretically, not actual murder someone.
Here comes...
Let's make sure I get that out there. Like,
now keep in mind,
I'm up there.
These FTC rules... Hey. These FTC rules are effective 2023. Okay. This new ruling about opting in and opting out and all this stuff is 2023. Well, here comes this unsolicited dick measuring advice of, I've been dealing with the FTC for over 10 years. I know the rules better than you. And then he has the balls to tell me that my arrogance and my ignorance is going to be the downfall of me. And I should really listen to him if I want to be successful. Right.
Yeah. Maybe keep I should mind, come up the street and look at your wife.
Keep in mind, he's never done in-home sales. He's done some car dealership stuff. And then he's done some national sales. He's done some online sales. He's never done person-to-person in-home sales. Yeah. Right? And so, I basically, like, I've had enough of this. He's done this time and time again. And so finally, I just tell him flat out. I'm like, look, dude, I don't know what you're trying to pull. I don't know if this is some, like, business owner flex bullshit or whatever, but I don't have time for this. We're okay. All of this is past the FTC guidelines, and we're good. And so then he wants to pry. No, this is where you're wrong. And this is what, this is his MO.
Yeah.
And this, where this happens in the past is he'll try to do all this stuff and I disagree with him. And then for the next like 6 weeks, I'll get these random text messages where he's come across an article that supports his argument and he'll text it to me or he'll send me a link to it.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, watch this 1 hour YouTube video to learn why you were wrong 6 months ago. And it's like, dude, I'm not doing homework because you think I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I've got better things to do, right?
Yeah.
And so I shut him down and I flat out tell him, like, I don't need your advice. I got this.
Why don't you just block his number?
Well, I might. You never know.
I'm just saying. And I've never met someone that flew on a private jet to go talk to Congress that lives in a subdivision like you live in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. If you're such a fucking badass,
he's and you're threatened to move out much... of our subdivision many times, and
ahead.
I keep waiting for him to make good on his threat.
Why do you not text him back? Like, apparently, you don't have the money to move out of here.
Yeah.
What? Like, you know what I mean? Bait him. Get the fuck. Go, like, get out of here, dude.
Yeah.
Like, and, what are you doing?
And so, you know,
I guess it's not as big as I thought it was. For those of you that aren't on the YouTube, I'm holding up my pinky.
And to give like, you some, come to on, give bro. You some parameter. Basically, this guy's like,
I met the guy. He's a freaking weird dude.
He's a glorified hater troll is really what he is. Like,
he's a weird dude.
He doesn't like that I post about taking my wife out on date night every Wednesday.
Why? Because he can't walk and take his wife out?
I don't know what it is, but he tries to give me relationship advice. Now, keep in mind, this is the same guy.
Are we going to go into bashing him? Because I don't want to
No.
Okay.
This
I mean,
goes
I want to do it. Don't get me wrong.
This goes into the category of, and this is why this is all about how to handle unsolicited advice.
Or haters.
Some of it's haters.
It's a gray line, dude.
Haters, you just shut them down. Unsolicited advice is a little bit different.
I like to drag that stuff out.
So, you take advice from people who have a life you want or who have been where you want to go. Right. In other words, if I'm trying to grow my business to a $5 million business level, I'm not going to go take business advice from the guy that's at the $1 million level. I'm past that. Right.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to grow my social media following to a 10,000 followers level, I'm not going to go take advice from a guy who's got 14 friends on Facebook.
Yeah. You're not going to take advice from me.
Right.
You know what I mean? On Facebook.
You're anti-social media. I'm not going
to
take...
Yeah, if I come to Mitch and I go, hey, Mitch, you should be doing this. He's going to look at me. Right. You're like, what the fuck's the matter with you, dude? I'm not doing that.
And so imagine how I would feel if Dave gave me unsolicited advice on how I should manage my Facebook. I'm not going to listen to any of it, right?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And if Dave makes a pattern of constantly boomeranging back around and giving me this unsolicited advice, eventually I'm going to put a stop to it. And that's what I did yesterday. And so I put a stop to it.
I'm going to drive up the street later when
I
leave.
I
got nothing to do tonight.
You know, he's got an inferiority complex or something because he keeps feeling like he's got a flex on me. And he's like, this is going to be a very expensive lesson for you, but you asked for it.
Tell him I want to borrow some money from Dave.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
like I know we're 100% above board because we went through 5 to 6 months of the FTC clearance to do the texting campaign.
Yeah. And that's the only way you can get permission to do it.
Right. And like, look at his argument. I tried opting out. Bullshit. There's none of your photo evidence says you replied. Stop. Right. And then
I love how people are always, they will bring that kind of stuff up and they're like, you know, you realize you're incriminating yourself by sending me texts.
Well, and then
right because
his conversation started with 3 solicitation texts to
that's
me.
What
and
I'm
if
saying.
He's trying to tell me that that I have to have prior written consent to send solicitation texts.
Yeah.
He's got 3 back-to-back in 9 minutes to me.
Yeah, guys, if you're going to cheat on your wife, don't text your girlfriend. Like, you may delete that stuff. It's there forever.
Yeah, I got
okay?
it forever. Right?
It's there forever. So stop. Like, just use your freaking brain.
This same character, he tries to give me relationship advice and talks about how I shouldn't be bragging about my marriage, right?
Why not, bud?
Well,
because I'm happy.
This same guy went out on his wife while she was pregnant with their third kid and moved out of the house, filed for divorce, and moved in with his yoga instructor. Okay.
I'm very confused. Now, the dude did that?
The dude did that. He did that.
What's wrong with the yoga instructor?
I don't know.
Have you seen that guy walk?
I mean, he's got a disability. I'm not going to knock the disability.
I'm
not going to take relationship advice from the guy who went out on his wife while she was pregnant with their third kid.
I like it. His wife, we went to high school with her. She's super nice.
Right. So
I don't understand what it's like, matter with this retard.
That's the type of unsolicited advice that it's perfectly okay to say, like, I'm good, thanks. I don't need your advice. And the rotten people will get mad when you tell them you don't need their advice. They'll get upset. And then they'll find some weird way to try to turn it into, like, this lesson's going to cost you a lot of money, but you asked for it. And it's like, dude. And I literally, like, I have the text. I'm like, you literally drug this out. Like, literally texting four letters, S-T-O-P, have stopped this entire thing.
Yeah.
But instead, you want to drag this out and make this into this argument that neither one of us have time for. You're a busy business guy. I'm a busy business guy.
Yeah.
Neither one of us have time to argue over a freaking text message.
He does have time. Because he's sitting around the freaking house not doing anything.
Well, no, I mean, his business is doing really well right now.
His business is doing really well doesn't mean he has to put a lot of time into it.
True.
So, like, that's why he has time to burn.
True.
Okay? He's got mailbox money coming in. He's got nothing to fucking do. That's what those people usually are. They're just like, man, I need some drama in my life.
Yeah, these
are
the Karens of the neighborhood
today?
And the male Karens, right? Yeah, the Karens and the Kevins.
Yeah, next time text him, I got a shovel. Yeah. Like, you want to really work on something? Well, let's talk about it.
You should point out, be like, hey, I didn't see a stop opt out on your text message.
Oh, no. If I get anything about this, like if I get a letter from the FTC saying they're inquiring into bad practices or anything.
He's calling Dave and seeing if Dave can use his shovel.
Because his texts don't have a stop opt out.
Yeah,
I've got three unsolicited texts from him. I've never been a customer of his. His are rightfully in violation of FTC policies, whereas mine are absolutely in the boundaries.
Yeah, and you can countersue for that too.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, and your lawyer's going to go,
oh my God, dead to rights.
Mitch, I'm taking 50%, but we got him.
Right. And so.
And then I'm calling Dave.
That's... You're going to get unsolicited advice from people who have not been where you are and have not done what you want to do. Graciously decline their advice. That's all you have to do. If like I'm just going to be real. Some of you guys that are listening to this show have fairly close relationship with your parents. And if you're considering starting your own business, your parents might be trying to discourage you from doing that because you've got a really good job. Doesn't that place you work at take really good care of you? Don't they always, you know, don't you get a couple of weeks vacation and all this stuff?
No, Mom, it's not 1985, all right?
If your heart and your passion and your vision is to create your own legacy and create your own business, nobody's going to stand in the way of that. Don't take their unsolicited advice. They're not being haters. They're looking out for your best interest, but you have to graciously decline their advice. And in this case, I've graciously declined his advice before. I've texted him back and forth that, like, look, I'm not going to take relationship advice from a guy who went out on his wife while she was pregnant with her third kid. I'm not going to take relationship advice from a guy who I literally helped move out of their house, loaded up his shit in my truck and moved it to his temporary arrangements.
You gotta like vet your friends better, bro.
Well, yeah.
That's why
this was
a whole
other
conversation
ago.
For a whole other time, but that's why I don't,
but
I got like three.
Yeah.
You know,
now we've talked about this in prior episodes of the show. Just because your accountant is four times divorced doesn't mean you can't take accounting advice from him. No. He may be an accounting
wizard.
You
can't take marriage advice
from him. But you're not taking marriage advice from him,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So to each their own sector.
Yeah.
And in this case, normally, had I been a little clueless of the FTC rules and guidelines, I may have been like, oh, okay, thanks for letting me know. I'll look into that. But because I had literally fresh off 5 to 6 months of dealing with this bullshit,
yeah,
I know very well that we're in the right. And so I'm like, fuck you. I don't have time for this. And if you want to keep dragging this out, fuck you. And since then, he sent me like 7 or 8 unresponded texts. He keeps sending me all these articles. And they're snippets of articles, right?
Mitch.
Because the ruling is different.
This guy's living halfway for free.
No.
Block his number.
No.
And don't worry about it.
This applies because we have other listeners to this show that might be wanting to text customers.
No, I know
customers.
That. No, I'm saying, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just block his number and move on.
In this case, like the rules for FTC stuff is if they're a prior customer of yours, you can absolutely text them as long as they have a clear opt out, right?
Yeah.
Now,
unsubscribe email is almost the exact same.
He would be texting people that have never done business with him before. He would be buying customer lists and phone lists and all of this stuff to cold text people.
Well, yeah,
and in that case, you do have to have written opt-ins, right? Yeah. And ever since this new ruling from the FTC last year, you notice how you don't get as many spammy texts as you used to. And you don't get as many spammy calls as you used to, right? Like we used to get calls all the time about
get a lot.
Checking on our vehicle's extended warranty.
Oh, I don't get those. I get like property. I get a lot of property ones and wrong number ones.
Well,
and I think
that was the classic opt-in was they would text you and say like, "Hey, Jessica, how are you doing?" And they're baiting you to reply with, "This isn't Jessica."
Yeah.
Because now they know that number is actually active.
Yeah.
And so you like when you get those random texts, you just block that number.
I would
do
always
not
say
start
like
start a conversation with them.
Oh no, I would always say, "Yeah, you want to see my boobs?"
Yeah.
Like I just the most random weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
My brother. So, oh, sorry.
It was something fun to talk about.
Yeah, the flip side is like if you are going to mass text people that have never done business with you, you do have to have prior written consent.
Yeah.
Which is impossible to get.
Yeah.
And nobody would do
that.
Well,
and that's why, in TradeWinds, like MailChimp's kind of the hot topic right now in TradeWinds. I don't want to say hot topic, but that's what a lot of guys brought up. You've started using it. Like, but MailChimp has to go by the rules.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know that you're above board when you're using them. So it makes even as cheap as it is, it's still worth using it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now, I will say,
just to cover your ass,
MailChimp is fairly universal because MailChimp doesn't know your business structure and MailChimp doesn't know, like I have to upload all the phone numbers into MailChimp. MailChimp doesn't know where I got those phone numbers from. And so
I thought that they went in to your CSR and then.
No. Oh, like we download our customer database into an Excel file and then we upload it into MailChimp.
Gotcha.
But because MailChimp doesn't know, like we can toggle on and toggle off the opt-out message. And we leave it toggled on for one, because it's required by law. But for two, we're in the business of making customers happy. And if you're unhappy, I don't want you receiving my text messages anymore, because that's just going to remind you of your bad experience with me. So if you're receiving your text message from our company and you don't like my company now, I want to give you a clear path to opt out. So you can text the words, the word stop, and you'll never get our text messaging again. Now, I will also never be surprised at the stupidity of America, because when we send these out, I get an email for every text reply, right? And so we texted out all of our customers, and we have about 4,000 customers in our database. We texted all these customers yesterday, and I'm going to say within an hour, we had like 50 emails. And some of them, like yesterday's text was about a garbage disposal, and it was reply with the word garbage if you would like an exclusive coupon to replace your garbage disposal.
G-A-B-A-G-R-E-A.
Well, no. So if you text reply stop, the system automatically removes you and I don't have anything to do with that, right? No matter how they spell garbage,
it comes back
to
you.
We see that and we reach out to the customer and set up a service call and give them their coupon.
What happens if they text stop garbage? Or garbage stop.
If they text anything other than stop, we have to handle it appropriately, right? And so
STOPE.
No, well, yes. So you could have
that's
stoop.
What I'm saying.
You could have stoop, and now we have to manually remove them, right?
Yeah.
You could have STP, and now we have to manually remove them. We could have SOP, right? Any fat fingered version of that, and we have to handle that. Well,
that's hilarious.
The text message clearly says,
how do I get on this list?
The text message clearly says reply stop to opt out. And you'll get people that are like, please remove me from your list.
Dude,
that took you longer to text than STOP, dude, and it very clearly said reply stop to opt out.
Like, I don't want to get in a whole thing about how stupid people are, but it's like,
yeah,
man, people in this country are so dumb for some reason. That's why they vote Democrat. I mean, I can't understand it.
And people hold grudges, and it's kind of wild. Like we, every Christmas, we email all of our customers a Christmas card that has a $30 off coupon in it. And we got one card back in the mail. And they folded it up, put it in a letter, and mailed it back to us with a hate letter attached to it.
Did you save it and frame it and put it up? Yeah, you should have.
It basically said something like, we used your company and we felt the price was high, so we checked around and we found several other people that would do it for a fraction of what you did, so we felt we were ripped off and it was absolutely worth the return postage to get this message to you and mail your coupon back to you.
You could have called me, bitch.
I'm like...
you could have called me.
Yeah. I'm like, got it. So we just removed you from our mailing list. Like, well, okay, we're never going to send you mail anymore. Yeah. Like, for what? Like, really, I don't want to, if you don't like me, I'm not going to send you mail.
Yeah.
Right. Save me on the postage, but also I don't want to rub salt in the wound. Right. Yeah. But at the same token, it's okay to be like, yeah, I'm never going to use those guys again. And then just move on with your life. But if you want to hang on to that anger for unknowingly long amounts of time,
didn't I tell you the other day that I think people are trying to dredge up drama because they just have nothing else
to
do.
They got nothing better to do.
Well, it's also just,
it's fucking insane, man.
Yeah.
It's also so easy to, in the aftermath, to be like, well, there's these other people that charge less. I'm like, oh, go use them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See what happens.
Yeah.
Right.
See it. I literally told a customer one time, use them, and when their ship breaks down, don't fucking call me.
Well, so
and
what's
they
ironic,
literally used them, their ship broke down, and they called me. And I said, didn't we have this conversation?
Right.
Like, get bent. So like, what is the matter with you?
What's ironic about that particular household is we were there because they had paid four other plumbers to fix their shower valve and nobody could get it fixed.
And you got it fixed?
And we got it fixed.
And they're still mad about it?
They go back to the plumbers that couldn't fix it and they were like, I wouldn't have charged that. Well, yeah, but you also wouldn't have fixed it.
Yeah, you also...
you did charge half of what we charged and left them with no repair.
Well, God.
Yeah.
Good God. I want to get into a whole thing about how stupid people are, but I know we're out of time. People are just so freaking dumb, man. They're so dumb.
We replaced a sewer. Like,
wake up,
customers
people.
Are kind of interesting. We replaced a sewer for a customer last week, and this customer is a chronic victim. They're a hoarder.
Oh my God, I just can't ever make rent. Oh, the world's just out to get me. Oh, they came and took my 75 cats. Oh.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're a hoarder. Their sewer line backed up and it's backed up for a long time. So all the stuff in their basement is ruined.
I can only use wipes.
And it's absorbed, right? And so
absorbed.
I mean, absorbed into their hoard. Like their hoard is sponged up at all, right?
I know. Can you imagine? Was it bad smelling too?
Oh, yeah. And so we can only get the camera to a certain spot and we tell them flat out, like, this might be a spot repair. We don't know. We don't know anything beyond this. It could be a total line replacement. We don't know. And so we get in there and we dig up that one spot and it's still holding water. We can only get the camera 4 more feet. And next thing we know, like the line is just root infested. So we bring in a jetter and we get all the roots out. A high power jetter cuts all the roots out.
I love jetters.
Their line's broken beyond all belief. Like the only thing holding their line in place was the roots.
Yeah.
And so now that we've gotten all the roots out, it's like your line's going to cave in any moment. And so we did a pipe burst, right?
Yeah.
And so we went from a spot repair to a pipe burst. Well, now things changed. We had to take down some fencing to get the excavator where it needed to be and all this stuff. We had to take down some posts.
Did you put them back?
Our rule is if we take down wooden fencing where we can take down one panel, drive through it, we'll put the panel back. But if it's chain link fence and we have to pull posts and gates, I ain't putting that back. Like I'm not a fencing expert. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to pretend to be either. So we just tell them clear cut from the beginning, you're going to need a fence company to put this back. Much like when I have to whack holes in your sheetrock to fix frozen and broken water lines.
Yeah.
You're going to have a sheetrocker and a painter.
I can sheetrock it, but you ain't going to like it.
Right.
Like it's going to be bad.
Right. And so
like it's going to look like shit.
We tell her all this
up
front.
And I don't even give a fuck.
And I have to field an upset customer phone call from her because here's the chronic victim thing, right? She's upset at the dry out company we referred because they've been dragging their feet. And keep in mind, we've had boatloads of rain lately. They've been slammed busy with flooded basements. Yeah. And
why are you trying to save your magazines?
Yeah, right.
I'm like, what are you doing?
They've been dragging their feet. And I'm like, well, that's between you and them. Like, I just introduced you to a company that I know does good work. Like, anything
else. You didn't have to use them. Yeah, you could have used anyone you wanted. Right? And you could have made a phone call.
And then she's upset that we had to take down her fence. And I'm like, your sewer ran under your fence. Like, how am I going to... Do you want sewer or do you want...
Yeah.
Like, no
sewer. Do you
sewer?
Want shit in your basement or right. do you want your fence down?
And so then she goes back on to complaining about the dryout company. And she's like, I know that I flagged them off today. They wanted to come out today, but today's extra humid. And they're going to have that door open for a really long time. And I've got post-COVID lung. And so I can't deal with the humidity. And if it's too humid in my house, I get really sick. And
I tell her she should drive up to fucking Canada then?
I don't know. So, and then...
go to Arizona, girl.
We had to go back to their house today to put up some temporary fencing where the fence was down. Because now she's trying to convince me that her dog will die if we don't get the fence up. Because her dog will not poop in a backyard that doesn't have fencing in it. And he's getting really backed up and he's feeling sick. And I just know he's going to die.
I think you should go over there and kill that dog and get over with it. And, like, I think you need to just, like,
I mean,
you know, you want to borrow one of my rifles?
You deal with enough customers, you're going to get some wild and crazy walks of life. But again, this is that splitting hairs thing of like, do I really want to push this issue? Or my install crew has a couple extra hours. They've got the safety fencing on the truck. Safety fencing and zip ties are freaking cheap. They're driving right by that house on the way back from the job they're doing today. Guys, can you swing by there and put up 20 feet of safety fence and zip tie it to
Thanks,
the rest
guys.
Of it?
When she lets that little dog out, just smack it with a hammer, would you?
Just, oh, man, I tripped over your dog and I killed it.
Oh, my God, and I smashed his ass with a fucking hammer.
Oh, Mittens. Mittens is dead.
So talking about a dog not being able to poop, it reminds me of a funny story of my grandma. Like, they used to,
That's a weird statement to make. Am I the only one?
Yeah. Keep going.
Just wait till you hear. I'm giving you all the context before they used to be, like, just straight up farmers, like, all that. But whenever she was a kid, she got tasked to go out and castrate a bull, except she wrapped around its dick.
Oh! Did Austin just drop the D word? I think that might be the first time. Did his dick fall off?
Dude, it's like... like I let it die because I mean I couldn't pee.
That is hilarious. Yeah,
First off, that might be one of the most disturbing images that's ever popped into my brain.
Well, because like it's funny. My
I'm
family,
picturing Austin doing it.
Like my dad, my dad's family, straight up farmers, like Southeast Missouri.
First off, no one like checking her work?
Right.
Like, is no one going out there
Wait. Did she go? I mean, if she confused all that, has she ever tried to milk said cow?
See,
this show is taking a dark turn in the life.
I mean, if you're confused about gender, just go try to milk bull and tell me how it works out for you.
Let me finish.
It didn't have to go dark, but it did.
I'm going
to
wrap this up right now. Nothing great ever happens after 2 a.m. Nothing great ever happens after this show's been going for an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, true.
Like, it goes off the rails quickly at like 1:05.
Well, these are the days where, like, you would have like, actual 10-year-olds going out and doing, like, 10 times the labor of, 15-year-olds.
Dude, we're just busting your balls. We get it.
No, I'm not upset. I'm just saying, like, God knows what they were doing
out
there.
Oh, my God,
there.
I
like,
know.
My dad was talking about stories of, like, they didn't have air conditioning. So, like, you know.
Dude, I didn't have air conditioning until I was 18.
Yeah.
This was recent.
Yeah.
Like, till I was out of the house in 2000.
Yeah. I remember playing on your warped-ass pool table in the basement because it was so warped from all the humidity.
It was
not a slate table. It was a wood table.
It was really easy to make it.
And you had to play the curve.
It was really easy.
And that corner pocket took all the balls.
That's what she said. Wrap us up, Mitch. I'm over it.
All right. So if you enjoyed stories about how I flooded the same house twice in our company,
or
more or less how you handle those situations when they come around, and how to handle unsolicited advice. You just tell them to fuck off and you do your own shit.
Or Austin's grandma.
Or
rubber banding a bull wiener.
Yeah, whatever. How to leave the balls but remove the dick from a bull. Now you know how. give us a 5-star review. If you can write words in that review, just let Austin know that he's the greatest storyteller of all times.
The greatest storyteller.
Those are pretty good stories, right?
Those are pretty good.
They are pretty good.
So
they make me laugh.
Until next week, guys, we will see you later.